I don't know how she has the patience for it, but yes, to half of them, or like to even people when I see walking by when they're just on the verge, like with one foot in the grave, I'm just like, you need to die. Just transition.
Or get smart and realize you don't even have to be that way if you can find Carolyn.
Right.
Yeah, Carolyn's got the most important show in a long time.
And yes.
What she lays out with her very intelligent, knowing everything and knowing particulars, it's a great demonstration of what Ian says, a great position, and more millions should be listening.
Yes. And I think some people are so sophisticated, over-Googleized, that her basic premises, you're magnesium deficient, you need to take magnesium. They think that, you know, you're going to have to take, you know, like, I think I heard her in 2 or 3 weeks ago where someone's taking 350 tablets a day. And I'm like, what in the hell is that?
What kind of stupidity is that? That's fucking subhuman stupidity. That's someone who's bored and likes getting new pills.
Yes. It's definitely a frequency which you have here, you're offering, because I mean I hear it's sad, but you hear how there are some people who I know as family members, they're dependent on the doctor, so they believe everything the doctor has, and the doctor's like a god. But then there's another type of person who becomes a doctor in how sick they are, and I enjoy how Carolyn shuts them down.
Oh, I love that when she really
when they want to continue to talk about how they know what drugs they're taking and what it's for and what the and it's like. Oh. Wow.
Mm, yeah, she does it so articulately and so she, like, they don't even know what hit them, and she sends them her point. Like, it's just funny how she addresses each person in a certain way that they can get it being addressed that way.
Yeah. She's like a conscious medium. She totally knows how to talk to each person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't miss a show. It's very interesting to listen to.
Yes.
It's a modern work of art. It's a modern Sistine Chapel.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I mean, and it's unique, and a lot of people don't realize it. And the shows for me, now I'm gonna try to bring in my insight of listening to McEwen. If you look at what the environment that we're in right here, right now, we're talking on, where is that? What is that that we're able to engage? What is that? You know? But then if you look at Carolyn's show, it's the same area, but people get to come in and have any question they have about it, and then she puts them in the responsibility role to take care of themselves. That's groundbreaking. I mean, you know, what doctor's doing that other than Carolyn? I know none.
Right. Well, some try it, but they can't do it. And she's got the tools to prove the success of what she'll offer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, there's, have you ever seen that picture of Carolyn? I think it's on her website when she's like 5 years old.
Yes, I've seen
it. And she has these big wise eyes.
Yes.
That's still the same person we're hearing today, the way that face is.
Wow. Yeah.
She's like a little Buddha.
Yeah, you can tell she's lived like 4,000 or 5,000 lives.
Yeah.
She's in a baby body.
Yeah. And she has a nice, innocent, childlike appreciation of anybody who interacts with her and sort of takes her seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I heard something 2 weeks. I heard something 2 weeks ago that made me realize she's also tough as hell too, Bob.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like you don't want to mess with her.
No. I heard her.
She'd be. She's got discipline. She could outweight you, out stamina you on the psychological level.
Well, I heard her explain, I think it was 2 weeks ago, where she dislocated both knees. And having had a knee injury, I have full respect for Dr. Carolyn Dean when she explained that, because that is...
That happened in 93? That happened in Venice between February and June 93. She would go roller skating every morning, and the dolphins would show up and go along with her. And somewhere in there one day, she fell off or something and damaged both, twisted both knee areas, kneecaps or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is she, what's the significant about that?
That she's really tough, because I injured one knee and I had it, you know, really severely damaged. And, where there's the collateral side, the inside of my knee, just really jacked up, where my inside of my knee.
Oh, you're talking about her pain threshold.
Pain threshold, right.
Yeah, she can take a lot of pain, it seems, physically, put up with stuff.
Yeah, she's real tough.
I don't know where that comes from.
Well, you get a higher pain threshold when you've been around for a long time, don't you?
What'd you say?
I said you'll get a higher pain threshold when you've been around for many, many
years. Oh, yeah. I haven't been around that long. I have no pain. So I don't take any pain.
That's true. You know what? Considering you're Ofanel Hobab, you have no pain tolerance.
That's right. Now, listen to this. I'm sitting here, and I start to get a little, there's a slight boredom feeling come in. We're not going to have that. You know, people get bored and put up with boredom. I don't even allow the slight boredom happening for like more than 5 seconds. Oh, they're trying to take me into boredom. That's not going to happen. I shut that down somehow real fast. I can't even take slight boredom.
Have you ever heard Ion describe Bob's pain tolerance? I don't remember what clip it is, but it's so funny.
Yeah. And you see, I haven't listened to him, but Akito's getting that list. It's piling up, man.
That's really nice. That's really
have you
a
been
good
listening?
Eric. Yes. When he reposts him, I look at him and say, let me listen to that. Yeah, it's really. I have to spend some, it takes a lot to go find those things, but he's really done something really, really interesting to have those rants. And it's a lot of fun. The ones that I've tested, it's really fun to listen to. It's really
fun. Yeah,
you know what?
And it'll be so cool if there's an app, maybe there is, an app that can put Ion's rants on slow-mo to where he, you know, you can hear every single word and know what each, you know, rant
yeah.
is on.
You can do that?
Well... I know on phones you can do that, like when you get a voicemail from someone,
you hit
like number 3, and their voice slows down like they're in slow motion.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, really?
We'll have to see. The Akito could do something like that, add that.
Yeah.
But are they generally about 2 minutes long? They're sort of short, right?
Yes, they're short, yes. I think there's two or three that may be 7 or 8. Minutes that I checked on, but most of them primarily that I clicked on have been like 2 minutes.
Right. Well, let's just see what they're saying on the chat line. Is there anybody there? Well, I'm going to the top, and that would be 12:57. When would that be?
12:57 would be
near 1. That's around now. We're at 10 o'clock my time. That's 3 hours apart, right? That's 3 hours earlier. He goes, I don't own a gun. You can use that one, Bert. What the hell is that about? I don't own a gun. You can use that one, Bert. Oh, yeah, they're talking about you want to kill people, I guess. At work. What is this? Look at Eliza's posting like a maniac. Let's go through. I bet you most of this stuff is about me.
Uh-oh. Oh, that was hours ago.
Yeah, let's see what Eliza says.
Uh-oh.
She goes, is there no end to it? At least take others on mute, Bobsy. If I don't hear different people's interaction, it gets boring real quick. No, no, you're supposed to be interested in our Bert and Rox's ideas. We don't need any more people. We got enough being said.
I like to hear different perspectives.
Well, we're not different perspectives. We're doing, I don't even remember what the topic was. What were we doing? Oh, we were doing McLuhan. You know, we were explaining where
It helps me understand better when people
Eliza comes in. I think I found the beginning. And she goes, good God, are they doing another Duline?
Uh-oh.
I think Eliza comes in. Great attitude there. So what
happened to
say to
Eliza?
She just shows up late.
I'll find that Eliza for you.
Yeah. Is there no end to it? At least take others off mute, Bob. See, actually, there's not many people here. If I don't hear different people's interaction, it gets boring real quick. Well, we're not concerned. I didn't even read this at the time. I don't even care what you think. Now, then Sarah comes in, little Sarah. So I expected court to go better this past week. I'm so fucking sick of getting a good night's sleep. What's that mean? I'm so fucking sick of getting a good night's sleep. What does that mean? However, does she have to get a good night's sleep for her court? Maybe that's what she means. However, I'll be back in the morning. What's that about?
Yeah.
She needs sleep, I guess. Then Sarah says, hey, Eliza, you need to get your butterfly back, girl. What's that about, Eliza?
I was first typing without the butterfly next to
me. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, PD.
Oh.
Who's PD?
Payday?
Oh, look at this. Look, it's no fun without Ion. We know that. Without Ion, we ain't nothing, right? It's
that
just CKLN. Replays of CKLN or something. Payday is getting to be a drag. Bob doesn't allow anyone else to talk, and I can only take a certain amount of cringing and listening to the same voices over. Well, look, we don't have the McLuhan do line happen very often. We don't do the Zappa very much. If Roxy comes, we do what I want to do with her. And she's not here every week. So the week she's not here, you can fucking yak all you want, man. If you're qualified. You got anything to say, Eliza?
When I usually do, I'm on mute.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we're a drag. It's a drag. Ion makes it worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Ion will be back soon. But it is a... hard to keep up the interest in just me or Carolyn or Bert or Roxy. You know, we're not that interesting compared to Ion. No comment?
No comment.
That was a put on, man. I just did a put on. You guys did. That was a takeoff. I just did a takeoff on you guys. I just took off everything there. And then the first thing I see after I say that, here's Sarah goes, alas, take heart. You may not know when, but I shall return to my real self, filibustering of snide remarks, emotionally intense accusations, and constant vacillation from hyper-focused to frantic boredom. Well, we're waiting for, the Sarah to come back that we can mute. This is the Sarah we don't. She's describing the Sarah we don't hear because we mute when she's like that. Then Dog Hat. Who do you think Dog Hat is, Eliza?
I don't know. I wish I knew.
Yeah, he goes, she says, nothing beats sincerity. And then, look at Eliza, Payday has changed so much. It actually used to be fun here. I can't believe I used to look forward to my Saturday night. Now, do you mean that? Do you mean that, Sarah? I mean, Eliza, are you joking?
Yeah. No, I honestly do.
Well,
really,
you know why? You're into Ion. Look, man, it's nothing without Ion. That's what makes Payday. Right?
Yeah, it's a huge difference when Ion is here, but I'm saying when, like, for instance, if I don't participate, I fall asleep. But I don't, you know, when I hear other people's perspective on things, I learn it in a different way, because sometimes when you explain things, I don't really get it from the way you explain it, but I'll understand it from the way someone else does.
Yeah. Well, that's usually wrong. It's been dumbed down. You have to understand the way I mean it. Until you do, you don't understand it. So that's a fact. And Bert will back me up on that.
Don't you dare, Bert.
No, it does.
He will.
Bob changes your whole perspective. Bob is training your perception just as much as Ion, if not more.
because Bob.
Yeah, we're not trying.
That's why I still come on to Payday, because Bob is talking. That's the only reason. It's not like I'm saying I'm giving up on Payday. I still come on because it gives me a chance to interact with Bob. But if I don't interact with you, then I'm going to get bored.
I know. Okay. You got to learn to listen a bit more, Eliza. You're going by just what you want to know. Pretend you're possessed by someone else, and that person is interested in us, and you sort of just watch that person's interest. Mm-hmm. Split yourself up. Create the self that's interested in this.
I try.
Yeah. Okay. You have to realize that this doesn't matter without Ion. Ion is the fucking top show of the world, and it's a big difference when Ion's not here. I mean, Ion's always coming up with things to say and do and add to, vivacious, vital, sulky in a humorous way. So
there is
Ion
around. There's no other place that's going to give you an Ionic experience as you know this place does.
Yeah, and I have no foolishness about that I'm capable of doing what Ion does. I'm pretty good among humans. I could, do an hour or two show. You might be interested, but 14 hours of Bob, that's getting a bit much, right? So we want Ion to come back as soon as possible to get this, jack up the intensity. I wonder if one could say that every time Ion was gone, when he came back, was it more something?
Yes.
Yeah, it's as if when they leave, we get an opportunity for growth, and they come and they see a difference in their time away of how much.
Then they up the ante. They see a growth. So that's how I look at this. There's other obvious practical reasons why Ion's not here, which you guys don't know about, aside from that, there's another purpose. It's also slack filled that when Ion has to take a break, that's when the break has to be done for our reasons of catching up.
Right.
As well.
Yeah, it gives everyone time to catch up. But you know, when Ion came back the last time, I think it was like the early Sunday morning hours, and I asked Ion where have they been? And they said they were very, very busy, and they said, they went on a rant, and it involved them saying, so now you want to ask your questions. You weren't asking your questions before. You weren't taking it seriously before, and now you have all these questions, a thousand million questions that you want to ask. And he was just going on and on. And I remember many times when he would be answering questions from different people at once, and I held back. I wouldn't ask my question, usually because, it was on a different topic or whatever. But they kind of chided me on that for not asking as many questions as I really wanted to.
So what is your point?
My point is that when they do come back, I'm not going to hold back. I'll just ask my questions.
So that's a new Eliza. You're announcing a new Eliza's approach.
Yeah, because they told me in their rant that I wasn't taking it seriously before, and I was just sitting quiet while, questions were being asked. I wasn't asking my questions, and now that they were gone, and now that they're back, I have a million thousand other questions, and now that I should be asking them.
And did you right then, or they went away again?
They went away again.
Yeah. So, let's see. So it does... it's natural that these breaks, and they are more different. They're different when they come back, which is good. I don't know. Do you guys ever listen to a Payday in, say, November? Let's say January 2010, real early. What are they like?
I myself, for some reason, I haven't been inclined to listen to archives as much as I wanted to in the past. Just because I'm so, so much has changed. There's different information, and things are different from their answers.
Going back to high school or something. It's not.
Yeah, it's a different frequency. It's like, going back to high school when you've been in graduate school. Because I've been doing some like re-listing because of some questions that I have, or just looking at things. And I went back and listened to something when James was on, and it's really dull.
it doesn't yeah. spark me as it is when I
yeah.
first heard it.
Yeah, exactly.
So Sarah says, Sarah's sucking up to Eliza, goes, but you're my favorite, Eliza.
Nah, leave her alone.
And then Dog Hat says something, and Eliza, I'll drink to that, Dog Hat. What is it that they're...
he says nothing beats sincerity.
Right, I'll drink to that. So who's prettier, you or Big Sarah? Let's be sincere.
I'm not going to answer
that. See, now look. See, you're taking it personally. You've got to learn how to answer that in some way that you can get away with it. No, really. Don't go. That's just a knee-jerk response. Oh, I'm not going to. That's rude. No, try it. You can start thinking about the differences. What are the differences?
There's many differences. She has blonde hair. I'm a brunette.
Yeah.
She's white. I'm Middle Eastern or slash West Asian.
Are you brown? Are you a brown person?
No.
Are you brown?
No. I'm white. I'm white, but not Caucasian white. Like, if you have blonde hair, you're a Caucasian white.
White. So you're black white?
I'm a brunette, but I'm not like.
What do they call you? Olive? You guys are olive skin?
Yeah.
That's the term.
Yeah, closer to olive. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What else?
why did you ask her that?
How about breast size? How do you guys compare?
Oh, Lord. Good God.
Oh, Lord. That sounds good. Let's hear a little more detail. Oh, Lordy. What a difference. You can describe the breasts without saying whose is whose. All right. Let's do it that way. What's one?
Wait, how about this? You give me some classified information. You can email it to me, and I'll give you some information.
I'll send you a picture of my dick, okay? I'll send you a picture of my dick. That's classified.
You're crazy.
No, come on.
I want the good details Ion gives you. Where has Ion been? What have they been busy with? They talk
to you,
right?
Well, it's classified. You know, we would never give out classified information to the... to the non-classificable, available, accessible.
Well, what do we need to do to become classified or to become eligible, to qualify?
Prepare to be killed? Are you prepared to be murdered? Are you prepared
yes.
to be shot at?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, you are. See, that's how desperate
you
are.
Yeah, because there's no death. There's no death.
Yeah, oh,
I'm not
gonna
die.
Believe
I'm
that
living
you fucking believe that shit? That's James Martinez bullshit. That's back before payday. What is it, I thought something were, do you believe in it? No, you don't. Yeah, that's a subgenius line. Feed me or kill me. That's what Eliza is saying. Give me some new information, Bob, or kill me. It doesn't matter. I need to be fed.
Yeah.
That's more important.
Ian has to know that there's a difference in many people who listen and participate because, you know, sometimes he and you guys don't give a lot of information besides the obvious of others listening and using it to their own benefit. But things like it might shock their system, it might be too much for a person to handle. But I'll tell you this much. I'm not going to be shocked.
You're not going to be shocked by what you're told. Well, that means you don't get it.
No, I get it. I just won't be surprised. It's just like...
You will be. Then you're not.
No,
I won't. That's why we don't tell you. I don't tell Eliza, and she won't be surprised. She won't understand how fucking important it is.
I'll be excited. That's the word. I'll be excited, and I'll be like,
oh, excited. Okay, okay. You'll be stimulated. Okay, let's hear your breast size. Let's compromise. You give me one of the breast sizes.
But this is when you jump in, change the topic.
Let me just see what could I say. What about hip size or I don't know body descriptions? How are you body wise? Very similar.
No, I'm taller.
No, width and depth, torso area. Torso hips. Are you?
You
the
want
same?
Me to give you a visual?
Okay. Do you run track or ballet?
Yeah.
Wow! Thanks for helping out, Bert. Thanks
well,
for
yes,
being there, Bert.
What talk show could you come in? There's no talk show, Eliza, where you can call in and everybody's talking about you for 2 hours. That's never going to happen. That's unique here. You get to be the focus of attention. So yeah, take advantage of it. So what are you, ballerina or soccer player?
So, what was I going to say?
Yeah, what were you going to lie about? What was I going to say? Not the facts, just okay.
I was thinking it would be so cool if you had like a conference between de Kerckhoff and Cameron, so they can both interact too, and you can interact. And just,
well, she changed the subject real quick.
Yeah. Wow, what the fuck is that? Jesus Christ. I'm glad you noticed that, Bert. She had me going there. I was starting to get shifted. But, yeah, it would be a interesting three-way, I think. What you anticipate never comes out, though. It never pans out. I mean, no one knew that I'd be talking to Cameron. I didn't know, and then it comes out to be really great. There's always the surprising new part that makes reality interesting, not what you project. Oh, that'll be interesting. You know, it doesn't work that way.
But he reached out to you. You said, like, years ago he reached out to you. And,
yes. And I ignored him for 3 years.
You ignored him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for 3 years. And then something brought me back. But that's because I'm on perfect timing. I'm basically saying to Cameron, get in line. Okay,
that's funny,
because
while he was reaching out to you, you were ignoring him trying to reach out to de Kerckhoff.
He was ignoring me reaching out to
While he was trying to reach out to you.
I wasn't reaching out to Kerckhoff. De Kerckhoff requested me to interact with him.
After that insult sent through the emails, didn't you provoke him to have a conversation with you?
No, about a month later, like the insult happened in the first week or so of May 2014. Because I visited him in August, and we weren't friends in any way. And I insulted him, and he tried to insult me back, but I sent a picture of me and Carolyn, and he capitulated. Yep, that's two happy people, not bitter like I'm claiming. So a month later, out of the blue, he sends me an email. Oh, great McLuhan scholar. And I thought it would be a put-on, a takeoff, you know, the way it was titled. But it was serious. And he said, I have certain projects I want to do, and I was wondering if you could help me. So I wrote back and said, no, I'm not going to help you in any projects. We're going to do a dialogue. And he agreed with it. And that's how it happened. He started it.
But did you help
him? He reached out to me, and then I suggested something different, and fortunately he agreed to it. Because whatever project he'd want me to do, I wouldn't have time to do it. If it required like a little extra work time, I wouldn't do it. I can fit in a conversation real easy, but to actually then take something from that conversation and go write up a report or something, that's work. Fuck that shit. I live at the speed of mouth, the speed of talking, speed of thought. That's what I live at. So back to
He probably collected a lot of his what took place in your conversations with him, and he's probably incorporating it into his teachings.
He is.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, he is, yeah. Yeah, he started to say, I really enjoy these. He likes them whenever I request them.
Yeah.
It's up to me to schedule them. He said, let's
tell.
Do it. Yeah. Okay, so what else could you compare between you and you and Sarah? What... you have different intellectual interests, right? Even though Eindem has brought you on the surface, both looking into McLuhan, say, or something that we provide.
Yeah.
But you were not similar before that.
Yeah. Like some of the books that she mentioned, I don't have a problem reading, but I would also be using the glossary for many of the words. And that would be time consuming, but I would love to have those versions. I think they call them red clips, or they call them something where they have a summary of clip notes. They have a summary of what the book is about.
You would like to do that with Pynchon or something?
Yeah, with Pynchon, because you know when you hear about an author so much. You want to have your own experience of them.
Yeah, but you ain't going to get it in Cliff Notes. You got to read the book.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, why are you mentioning Cliff Notes?
It would make it easier for me to know what the book was about. And
it's not about anything. It's like Finney's Wake. There's no real point to it other than the experience of reading it.
So you would just read words off a page and continue to do that till the end?
Yeah. You got to start doing things with no purpose.
That's so interesting. So when you, if you can recall your own experience, when you read that book, did things change for you? Did your environment change in some way?
Not that I was aware of. I was glad that I read it and felt I learned something about one of America's greatest authors. You know, I thought it was worthwhile. But, you know, I don't think I could say it in any normal way because I don't live a normal situation. I probably liked it for how it illustrated what Ion was talking about, and nobody's reading it with that in mind, so I have a unique thing I bring to it. I'm sort of looking at it, oh, well, he did this, you know, what was Ion doing at that point? I fit it into my chronology. I fit it into my chart. I'm always filling in the chart. I may not write something down, but I'm always filling in how we got here. And Pynchon is helpful.
Mm.
The learning thing. Yeah, I'm always learning about basically, I guess, my empire and then finding supplements to it, validations
right.
of it.
Right, because you said some of his books were so close to how you and Connie lived, the characters in it. And would he be someone you'd care to talk to and go into more
detail? No, I get the impression he's a doper. I get the impression he's a lazy guy, watches TV, daytime TV, smokes dope, and is not that. He's like maybe a quiet guy. Now, I also say he could be nothing like that, but that's the impression I get. So I have no desire to interact with him. He wouldn't be lively enough. But he may be. But that's my impression, and my impressions are not that relevant. You have to wait till you experience them.
Right.
I think about he should be interested in the Ion phenomenon. He should be interested in how his books point to it a bit.
How would he come across the Ion phenomenon? Like, I'm still curious about how Elon Musk got in touch with Iondom because that's what Ion was waiting
for. Did you send me the interview, the recent interview? We should play that. That's what I should have played for.
Sasha did, Bob.
What? Sasha, we should play that for 10 minutes because I heard that. It sounded like he's quoting Ion, for fuck's sake. You know,
I want to hear it, too. Yeah. I want to hear that interview.
Yeah.
All right, let's just finish up here. So Eliza, I'll drink to that Doghead. Then Doghead says, this is just what happens when Ion's away, so Bob can fill time reliably. Yeah, in a way, if you want to have someone fill time, I'm the guy to do it, probably, right? I think that's what he's saying.
Right.
I'm the best substitute. Then Eliza says, filling time reliably can also involve opening up the lines for everyone to talk. Make it fun, enjoyable, you know? I want to hear other perspectives, too, not just one person. But we're doing special recordings for history there. We're doing the Do Line. So you can't judge us by Do Line, but Do Line will be done occasionally.
Yeah, how many Do Lines do you have to do? How many are you doing?
I think I only got about two more. There's only about two more.
Because after the Zappa thing, you started the Do Line. I think it was Do Line first, then you started the Zappa thing, and then now you're back on the Do Line.
Yeah, we're finishing up the Do Line. And then we'll do Zappa occasionally. And then what are we going to do? It's going to be nothing. The show will be over in 4 hours. Or something, you know.
That's when you go into your archives, you dig through them and play recordings like the ones you said about your mom, I am talking to you about that, and other recordings that you said you're going
to
play.
Okay, we got that. Okay, Dog Hat. I mean, I don't disagree.
Moving on.
moving on. Dog Hat. I mean, I don't disagree. The more chaotic environments are more fun to look for patterns in. I don't disagree. The more chaotic environments are, the more fun to look for patterns in. Okay, and then you say, Sarah, I need you to speak your mind. Snap out of the disillusion that has taken over Bobsy. The disillusion? I'm disillusioned?
I meant delusion.
Okay, see, you don't even spell right. And then you go, this is crazy. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, and everyone else sees it as normal. Like, you know, Eliza, we're having a good time. Eliza's the only one not appreciating what we're saying about McLuhan. Eliza's out of it. Okay. Then Eli says, oh, speaking of your mother, Bob, what happened to the recording that you said you were going to play for us? Huh? Yeah, that's right. I forgot why I didn't find it or for a while, or I didn't finish that, or I don't know what. And then Sarah says, but we might get back to it. I'm usually muted, too. That's Sarah. So everything's all about Sarah. That's why I'm forced to feign interest in my real life. I'm usually muted, too. That's why I'm forced to feign interest in my real life. And then you go, in my real life, I'm usually also bubbly and excited for my Saturday nights to come around, but Bob having all on mute is just not working for me. I know. I apologize. As soon as we get Ion back, it'll be okay, Eliza. Mm. And you say, payday is just not the same anymore. I miss Ion. Yeah. Even they said that Bob's exclusivity was not good. That's right. Bob hijacked it for his own agenda.
They don't
give a fuck. Because we have Ion, we don't give a fuck whether you get pissed off and leave, because you'll be back. Once Ion is back, so I don't give a Eliza, I might as well get up and clean and go to the bathroom, wipe my ass, and listen to an archive. Jesus, I know you put ass. You didn't have to put that in, Eliza. I don't have to care about your wife.
I didn't have
yourself.
To. That's when your passive aggressiveness.
I read it right there. There's the words. So she's denying it, Bert. She's denying that she said that.
Bert's reading it. Bert could read it.
Yeah, then crayons laughing. And then maybe something important will be said, says crayons, or not. Damn right I say important shit. Dog hat recommends some YouTube. Then he goes, my kingdom for a ba-na-na-na. Then something called disinsatory calfaction. I'm figuring this, he says, I figured this a wholly ungrounded conversation. Well, we don't know which one he's talking about. The McLuhan one wasn't. Then Eliza says, I don't approve of your figure-ground interplay. Wait till Ion comes back from their trip. You're going to get it, mister. Eliza decided to start a fight because he's so bored. And then, that actually was a message to me. That was a message for Bob, by the way. I'm getting sleepy, and it's all your fault. So, Bob, I don't approve of your figure-ground interplay. Wait till Ion comes back from their trip, Bob. You're going to get it, mister. Okay. Bert fell asleep. Even he couldn't take it anymore.
He wasn't answering.
This is a torficalcofunction. Says, that's when we started going Dutch. Blame those hugonauts. Humans going nuts. This one that said, he says, a sticky glue puts all manner of unrelated materials together. Sticky glue, Dog Hat gives the YouTube for sticky glue. And Dog Hat says, that odd effect in the modern environment where the more ideas you can remove from the discussion slowly cuts the atmosphere down until only truth is left. That odd effect of the modern environment where the more ideas you can remove from the discussion slowly cuts the atmosphere down until only truth is left. Yeah, that's pretty good. More truth in a letter than a word, than a sentence? Nah. What do the 5% say? You build or destroy? This ensatorifical faction? Same old, what is already obsolete. His ground, figure is the technological advancements of the unseen but felt structure of society. Look at these people. They just have no appreciation, Bert, of what I'm offering. You know, they just are pigs of boredom. And then this infotraction says, Dog Hat, truth, a moving target, subjective or objective. I suggest that things we see today as hard objective truth may well be a sliding gauge. Dog Hat. It's all approximation, like dividing an exponential function into smaller and smaller rectangles in order to approximate the area under the curve. Dog Hat. In Newton's math, it is as approaches infinity, for example, the vanishing point. Eliza says, I agree, Bob. You are indeed old-fashioned. That's what you get for resisting a celly. Sociologically, then Dog Hat says, sociologically, as the ego approximates the id. Doghead says, in visual technology resolution, or how well does the mind make you believe he's in a box? This ensatorifical faction says, approximately, Doghead, or good enough for government at work. Doghead, and if you would like to treat it like a Russian doll, even that is a sub-narrative, a reflection of a larger narrative in which it is simply the lower resolution view of larger moving systems. All of which is in language quickly approaching his existence within a tesseract. Maybe that's where the expression high road came from. Disinsultorification, lack of teleological perspective. Group speak, only the individuals addressed as a homogeny. Dog Hat, here's a dope representation. I better not This is the, oh, not that much left. Are you, anybody still here?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, Doghead, here's so, this in satirical vocalization. This is missing from the holy offices. You, as you make you, you with you. This is missing from the holy orifices. You, comma, as you make you, comma, you with you. No, that's not missing. We get that from Ian all the time. Then he says, laughing with versus at. Then he says, with different voices. Then Doghead says, the takeoff and put on seem like a good place for Campbell's God, Joseph Campbell's God with many masks and hero with a thousand faces. Doghead, or maybe even some eyes wide shut. Putting on only to take off or get off. Putting on only to take off or get off. Somebody smiles at that. Disinformation smiles and then says, a big bird's eye view of our self-loathing society. A big bird's eye view of our self-loathing society that we must go to such lengths for stimulus. A hide and go seek with ourselves. Easy for him to say, right? Easy to criticize our society. Doghead, did you pretend as a kid? Maybe that's addressed to me. Then he says, we made armor out of old plastic barrels, the kind they used to move chemicals around in. Swords out of vine maples, a forest, a kingdom, and a lightning cracked stump a stone. Lightning cracked stump a stone. None of it sat, none of us sat on the throne, or none of it sat on the throne. Oh, he corrects it. None of us sat on the throne. Then, dissent, etc. The faction says, great memorials, Doghead. I may do with shoe boxes. Ha ha ha. Doghead sort of laughs, embarrassed. Doghead, I recall a lot of our gains, but I don't really recall why, any motives for it. I figure everyone played and pretended as a kid, but I wonder if anyone remembers why. Disancentrification says dry runs, cognitive modeling, role playing, learning in the raw. If we played at learning as a society, we'd be better off. Doghead, I agree, more play. Disancentrical faction. Says I don't own a gun. You can use that one, Bert. All right, let's bring up this mutton mute Elon guy. I have to renew my web caller in template. Uh-oh, it's not coming up. Okay, so Elon Musk, where can I find that? Eliza, who go to a Sasha email?
Yeah, you said Sasha emailed you.
But I remember I had him here. Let's see. Did I disconnect him? No, I didn't. Okay, so we look up trash.
I can send it to you, Bob.
No, I got it. Well, I think I did. If you can post it, sure. I don't know what happened there. I had it. Then I slipped into another world, I think. What's O.J. Hoggins say? It's just a book quote. Okay, we're waiting, Bert.
Okay, I'll post it on the chat.
Or send it to me.
I'll send it to you. Yeah, okay.
So Ezekiel 1:22, this and what's his name, and Doghead are one and the same person texting back and forth to themselves from two computers. Sad git. Sad G-I-T. So that's it. The chat line doesn't even have anybody there. Just a couple of people.
Why don't you refresh? See if anyone else
did.
Is on.
Well, I refreshed, but it broke. Oh, now it's back. No, it's just Renee and, you know, Corbin's there, but he won't say anything. Okay, Bert, I'm looking for what you sent me. There it is, Bert Hill.
Bert, can you put it up in the chat room too?
Bert, that's the limbic system. What is that? Is that Musk?
I just sent it.
Yeah, is that about the limbic system? Is that what it is?
No, no. No, if you look now, it says Elon Musk speaking chip body.
Yes.
I just sent it to you.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, so let's...
Here you go, Liza.
Bring in the sound effects. Skype.
Is that the name of the YouTube video?
I've got the video. I'm trying to get the sound up.
What's the name of the video?
Elon Musk, full interview, Code Conference 2016.
Oh, I see it.
Okay. Where is my sound thing? Where is sound? Okay, here it is. So we got to put that, I don't know, input, sound flower, volume's up, Skype is off. Okay, see if this comes through. Oh, that's real low. Why is that so low? Why is it so low? What? That had 400,000 hits. Maybe if I put it on the other, let's see if that works. No. Output volume. Maybe that's been moved. Let's see.
Elon, let me start by saying we're very glad you're here safe and sound.
Thanks. Unfortunately, I had to start a bit late. I was... I flew here with the landing gear down because it was like some kind of landing gear issue.
Landing gear was stuck?
There's some kind of warning light, and my pilot said that if they were attracted to the landing gear, it may not go back down again. So I thought
so this
probably best to leave
this
it down.
This even happens to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Landing gear problems of various kinds.
Anyway, we're happy to wait for you, and we're glad you got here safe.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to see you guys.
Thank you for coming. I really appreciate it. You kept your promise, which was nice.
Of course.
I think you were drunk when you promised me, but that's okay. I'll take it. So, you know, in the couple of years since you've come, you've done some astonishing things in terms of substantive stuff with both your companies. Let's start talking about space and what you've been doing there. Obviously, you've had some success landing the rocket. You've had, you know, you've done a bunch of other things that where people thought you weren't going to be successful. Talk a little bit about sort of the progress you think you've made with SpaceX.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a lot of things where I think I didn't think we'd be successful. Probably, and the most significant thing is being able to land an orbit class rocket, boost stage, and bring it both back to Cape Canaveral, land, and be able to land on a drone ship out in the ocean. There is a bit of an education process that's needed to understand orbital dynamics, because a lot of people are confused of like, why the heck are you landing a ship, landing a rocket on a ship in the ocean? That seems pretty inconvenient. And the reason is because that going up and staying up is actually about velocity horizontal to the Earth's surface. So there's a huge difference between space and orbit. Like space, you could think of as like, say, being the international waters boundary for the Pacific Ocean. Like if you go, you know, 100 miles offshore, you're technically out of coastal waters. Now you're in the Pacific.
Right.
So it's like technically you're in the Pacific, but orbit is like circumnavigating the globe. It's a really giant difference. And the reason that things go up and stay up is because you're zooming around the Earth so fast that your outward radial acceleration is equal to the inward acceleration of gravity. And so those balance out and you have a net zero gravity. So when you see the space station, the thing that's a little counterintuitive is that the space station is actually zooming around the Earth at 17,000 miles an hour.
Even though it seems like it's just...
It seems really still, you know, but it's moving really, really fast. I mean, to put that into perspective, a bullet from a .45 gun, you know, handgun, just below the speed of sound. So the space station is going more than 25 times faster than that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to move it forward. I don't know, find an interesting topic.
It starts at 5630. Does that work well?
What, Bert?
It starts at 5630, according to Sasha.
Oh, okay, good. All right, 5630. Okay, 5620.
I have some of that talent. That's about all, but there's a tremendous amount of innovation that's happening. It's something that I think is going to be quite important, I don't know of a company that's working on it seriously. Is a neural lace. Going back to the AI situation, this is quite an important debate. Like if you assume any rate of advancement in AI, we will be left behind by a lot. And so then we could be in, like, you know, benign situation, but even the benign situation, if you have some, you know, if you have ultra intelligent AI, we would be, you know, so far below them in intelligence that it would be like, you know, a pet, basically.
Pet, that's what I was thinking.
Like a pet.
Cat.
Elon like the a house cat. Yeah, right. It would be like the house cat.
Right.
It's not the end of the world, you know. Sort of pet.
I've seen the movie, it could be. Yeah.
It could be. That would be the benign scenario.
Mm-hmm. So house cat is okay.
I mean, I don't love the idea of being a house cat.
Okay.
So what's the solution?
Yeah, so I think the, I think one of the solutions, the solution that seems maybe the best one is to have an AI layer. If you think of like you've got your limbic system, your cortex, and then a digital layer, a sort of a third layer above the cortex, could work well and symbiotically with you. I mean, just as your cortex works symbiotically with your limbic system, your sort of a third digital layer could work symbiotically with the rest.
This is something that's surgically inserted or bred into the species or what?
But the fundamental limitation is input-output. So we're already a cyborg. It's just that, I mean, you have a digital version of yourself or partial version of yourself online in the form of your emails and your social media and all the things that you do. And you have basically superpowers in that with your computer and your phone and the applications that are there. You have more power than the President of the United States had 20 years ago. But you can answer any question. You can video conference with anyone anywhere. You can send a message to millions of people instantly. You just do incredible things. But the constraint is input output. So we're IO bound. Particularly output bound. I mean, like your output level is so low. It's like, particularly on a phone, like your two thumbs are sort of tapping away. This is ridiculously slow. Our input is much better because we have a high bandwidth visual interface to the brain. Like our eyes take in a lot of data. So there's many orders of magnitude difference between input and output. So mostly effectively merging in a symbiotic way with digital intelligence revolves around eliminating the I/O constraint. So it's some sort of direct cortical interface.
And you called it a neural lace.
Neural lace, yeah.
It's totally not Google Glass, right?
No, I'm talking about something
which...
No,
but it's like you wear it?
No, I mean, it would be... I mean, there are a few ways to approach this, but some sort of interface directly with your cortical neurons particularly.
But doesn't that imply surgical insertion?
Not necessarily. You could go through the veins and arteries because that provides a complete roadway to all of your neurons. Your neurons are very heavy users of energy, so they need high blood flow. So you automatically, with your veins and arteries, have a road network to your neurons.
Still some kind of surgery, right?
Yes, but you could insert something, you know, basically... you know, into the jugular and have, it gets macabre, but.
It sounds really easy and.
It doesn't involve, you know, like chopping your skull off or anything like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
And plus you're not a house cat anymore, right?
Not a house cat. So,
right.
I mean, essentially if we can figure out how to establish a high bandwidth neural interface.
With ourselves.
With your digital self, effectively, then you're no longer a house cat. You know?
All right.
Fuck this shit, man. Fucking guy. Jesus. If you were listening to that, you'd start to feel depressed or hopeless. Or there's no forward movement in this conversation. This is what's so great about ION. Even if I was making it all up, it's fucking progressive. It moves forward. This is the guy, Juan, blah, 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 blah. And he's the big guru right now, maybe. Right? Well, he has some kind of success profile. Well, I tell you, I'm staying in Maui. I'm still fucking the Center for Culture Technology. Elon Musk failed to impress me. What do you think, Eliza?
Well, what was Ion talking about when they said he had... made some progression in coming to ION?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see him resisting ION. He's aware of ION, but kind of trying to think around it or parallel
yeah.
to it. Or, you know,
you
he's holding back.
Yeah.
He's talking Bob Chip body. He's talking Bob's language. He doesn't have to make it that complex, but he's saying we have our digital selves. And I've said that, you know, everybody's a god under the present conditions, more powerful than the present. He's right on that. You heard that from me 10 years ago. Nothing inspiring there. Fuck, man. If we had to listen to him, we'd have to wait till he stumbled around, broke a few necks or something. And we got forward movement. We don't even need to have this hardware he's trying to make. We got the alternative to hardware as well as making hardware. We got both.
Okay, hey. So he wasn't talking about the cloud there, was he? I mean,
that was a secret Bob just said, Eliza,
what?
If you didn't notice.
Yeah, what did I say?
You said we don't need hardware.
Yeah, we got the drops in that. You don't need to... To do that, I don't want to take a trip to the fucking moon. That'd be boring. It's limited. You're fucking stupid. I got to go to the beach every day. That's more exploratory. So nothing appealing. But it's sort of interesting. He's supposed to be a successful guy, and he's impressing these other people there, and they just don't know. They don't know what's impressive. They haven't experienced it. There's the wonderful music. So we'll see y'all in 5 hours. You got 5 hours to get your act together.
We expect you back here in 5 hours.
Yes. And Bert said he'd come back last week, and he didn't come back. You know, so I noticed that, Bert.
I did came back. I came back, Bob, last week.
I did? Oh, okay. But I don't know what I'm talking about. I got the Eliza blues. If Eliza keeps talking, I'm going to fall asleep. I can't take it when Eliza is just
monologuing. Right.
You want to give me your breast size. Not on your breast size. Yeah, not even giving any fucking facts.
You've got to do more to impress me.
I'm satisfactory payday. It's been an awful day.
You've got to do more to impress me.
Yeah, you don't know what you're doing. You have no clue. No clue at all.
I'm here.
I'm here because I have no clue. I haven't learned one fucking thing.